Matthew chapter 9, and then after you find your place, I would encourage you to stand as we might give our full attention to the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9, take your time and find it. Don't feel, and we'll wait for you. If you have difficulty finding it, don't worry about it. My pastor always said the Word of God changed him by looking at it. Amen. So don't mind you looking at it. Amen. Anybody happy in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. In a good service already. And I could go home right now and I'd be filled. Amen. But I'm not. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Going to preach something today called the faith that opens eyes. The faith that opens eyes. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And Jesus passed forth from thence, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. I like the sound of that, amen. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he saith unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord, and pardon me. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Now you see the last few verses we read about talked about two blind men coming to see Jesus. So far we read several different miracles, but if you notice in verse number 1, it all began when Jesus passed over by ship and came into his own city. And so what we read about was an account of several things that happened, and the end result was the two blind men followed after all things had happened, and then they had the faith that their eyes were open. So we're going to preach about that today. Now, Father, we thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for the reality of yourself. I thank you for the power of your name, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the word of God that's been read already today. My dear brother read about your name and the power thereof. And we're going to preach about you and your name and the power thereof. And Lord, should there be anybody here today whose eyes are not open to the marvelous light of Christ, we pray they'll be free. And to maybe any of your children that are here today that have lost their vision, that it seems like though they know you, they're walking in a dark part of their life. May through what the blind men heard about, may their eyes be open, and may they have their vision be restored, and may they be used in a mighty way just like these blind men were. And we thank you for the God that you are. And Lord, I look forward already to what you're going to do. I thank you for what you did in my heart this morning, just through rereading what you've called to be preached today. And I pray that the Spirit of God would move in our midst today and that no person would restrain what your Spirit would try to do. As my dear brother prayed before we came in today, we pray that you remove every hindrance, any distraction, whether it be from Satan attacking or from within our own hearts. We pray, Father, that you would dispel anything that would hinder your people from hearing from you today. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. We'll go back to verse number 1 and we'll work our way down through several different things. And as always, the Word of God is exciting. Amen. It's good to read the Bible, get to see things about the Bible. And always keep in mind when you read the Scriptures, and you hear about these stories in the Bible, you're not reading about something that somebody dreamed up. You're reading about people, places, things that really legitimately happened. And when you realize that you're reading factual accounts of people, then you catch a greater glory of the magnitude of the power that Jesus Christ has on the face of the earth. Now, the blind men, like I said, at the end of the result, Jesus told them, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so according to their faith, their eyes were open. So they developed a faith that when Christ asked them, if you believe I'm able to do this, they said, yay, Lord. They said, I'm in. I believe you can do it. Amen. And so we want to see what happened in them to where they came to that conclusion. First thing I want you to notice, number one, we'll work our way back to looking at verses number 7. First thing about that faith, it is a faith that heard of the power of Christ to forgive sins. It is a faith that heard of the power of Christ to forgive sins. Notice in verse number 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what's really missing in the Bible? That really should have taken place in this story here. There should have been somebody that knew God about that time when he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. There should have been some shouting going on. There should have been some happiness going on. Because if your sin's been forgiven, and you hear somebody else having their sins forgiven, that kind of makes you get happy, amen? Like if you're saved, when somebody else gets saved, you say, oh man, another one gave their life to Christ. Oh man, they're in for trouble now. No, they know the Lord now. Praise God. And yes, as my brother said, there will be trouble. That's reality because the Christian life is the life upon the cross. But the cross, we die so that others may live, just as Christ died for us, that the world might live. But in the eternity, it all works out better. As the old song goes, we understand it better by and by. But he says, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. You know, the world thinks you really can't have your sins forgiven. The world thinks if you come to Christ, if you don't know the Lord today and you give your life to Christ and you go back and tell somebody, some will say, praise the Lord, some will say, you? Are you serious? You got religion. They think you're out of your mind. And the Pharisees, the sad thing is, these were religious people that did not know the reality and the power of Christ Almighty to forgive sins. And they said to God himself in the flesh that he blasphemed. And verse 4, and it says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But I love verse 6. But that ye may know, not wonder, not think it's a good possibility, not think it's the probability is pretty good, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. And he arose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now they're glorifying God and praising God because the man that was lame is able to walk. That's just kind of the way, and that's kind of the way modern day religion is. We praise God for what he does in an earthly sense, but we lose the glory of what's done in the spiritual sense. And when God does cause us to repent, when God does cause us to a closer walk with the Lord, when God does move in our hearts and show us how holy he is compared to ourselves, and we fall on our face before him and said, Oh Lord, I'm speechless before you. We get excited about God giving things and working out physical things, but there should be a joy and elation, just a magnitude that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So these two blind men, they heard about this. They heard of the power of Christ on earth to forgive sins. Number two, it is a faith that is heard that people lose their life for Christ. It is a faith that is heard of people that lose their life for Christ. Notice verse number 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And Matthew said, Where? And Matthew said, What are we going to do? What do you want me to do? Is that in your Bible? Do y'all see that? Is that there? No, it's not there. The Bible says, And he arose and followed them. And the blind man heard about this. That, okay, Jesus is here, and here's a man sitting in receipt of custom, a tax collector, and all of a sudden, a man named Jesus walks by, and he says, Follow me, and he didn't even say, Okay. He just went. He didn't say, Yes, Lord. He just got up and started following him. And he left his profession, left his career, and just to go follow the Lord. And these two blind men heard about this. Hey, in Matthew 5:11, the Bible tells us that the other disciples, they forsook all and followed him. The blind men heard about this. Either they could distinctly hear what's going on, and they were sitting there, well, what's happening? And I said, Man, Jesus, you know Matthew, the guy collects taxes? Yeah, he's the reason I don't have any money. You know, Jesus came by and he said, Follow me. And he didn't murmur. He didn't complain. He didn't say, what about how long I've been doing this? He just rose and followed him. And this is the person the Pharisees said was blaspheming. Do you believe that? I said, wow. The blind man heard about this. It is a faith that heard that people lose their life for Christ, left everything behind for Christ's sake. And I was thinking today, I've kind of talked about surrender before, but you know, the real problem with Christianity is that too many people have surrendered their life to Christ. You say, well, what's wrong with surrendering life to Christ? Well, God didn't ask you to surrender. In fact, the word surrender is not in the Bible. God asked you to lose your life to Christ. Because if you surrender to your life, you still got some fight left in you. But if you lose your life, that means it's all his forever. That means you're not going to raise again. But see, as long as you surrender. See, there's anybody who here who loves paying taxes? Now, who here pays taxes? Amen. All right. But you pay taxes, not because, well, who here pays taxes because they just think it's a lovely government idea? Raise your hand. And then you come repent for lying. Amen. No, you pay taxes because you accept the fact that the government has more power and authority than you, and you surrender to their decree, and you surrender to what the government has decreed. Because you believe they have more power, more might. It's not, the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That implies trust. Now, who trusts the government? So, it's different than what God is asking us to do. God asks us to lose our life to Christ because we trust him. Because, and the reason why, in the good illustration, the reason why so many people look for loopholes in paying taxes, because they've surrendered to pay taxes. They haven't really lost their life to pay taxes. They don't believe it's really in their best interest. And people that surrender to God without really believing in God, without really trusting in God, they're just, if something could ever change, they still hold on to themselves. They can just, if they can pop free, they'll pop free. But Matthew, I mean, these two blind men, they heard about this guy named Matthew. He lost his life to Christ and went forward. Number three, the faith that opens eyes. It is a faith that heard of compassion for the sinful. It is a faith that heard of compassion for the sinful. Anybody glad that's true? Amen. We got one sinner in the house other than me. Amen. I'm glad that's true. I know God saved me from my sin. And thank God that he had compassion on the sinful. Verse 10, notice what the Bible says here. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. See, Christ was not concerned about having a proper public image like we worry about today. Christ said he saw there were people that needed him. He saw where the publicans and sinners were at. He saw the people that needed him that were away from him. And he approached him, he went with them. And though the religious leaders rebuked them for that, that was the reality of who he came for. And guess what? These two blind men heard about that. They heard that Christ had compassion on the sinful. Because behold, many publicans and sinners. And when Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And they didn't stop and say, you're not worthy of my time. They didn't say, you're not worthy of being here. No, Jesus said, I'm glad you're here. You're the one I've been looking for. Number four, the faith that opens eyes. It is a faith that is heard that it is mercy and not sacrifice that pleases God. It is a faith that is heard that it is mercy and not sacrifice that pleases God. Notice verse number 13. Jesus said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Now, if you understand this, this will really help you greatly in your Christian life. God said it's mercy and not sacrifice. And we talked a little bit about mercy, I think, last service or one of the previous two. Mercy is getting treated better than you deserve. Because many people, even after they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have this notion that they still have to do enough to get God's favor, to get God's help in the matter. No, it's mercy. You know what I'm preaching today? Well, I know what you're thinking, because, Pastor, you're so very wise. And you're so very intelligent. And because you're so devoted to Christ. No, I'm here because of the mercy of God. Because God treated me much better than I could ever possibly imagine. And God has given me grace. And when he could have destroyed me and eliminated me, he had mercy upon me. And even the moment I cried out to him for my salvation, he had mercy. There was nothing in me, because all my righteousness is as filthy rags. There was nothing good in me that he could see. But as I believed on his son, he was compassionate upon me, and he was forced to honor his own word. Because when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And he's the one that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He had mercy upon me based on his own word. And that helps me if I think about that going forward as I follow God. That God is not really looking for me to become some great, fantastic, supernatural Christian. He's looking for me to have a life that can continually calls for mercy just to read the Bible in the morning. That calls for mercy just to pray for somebody. That calls for mercy just to love his brethren. And as I call upon God for that mercy, I rest in that. And guess what? The same joy that flooded my soul when I called for mercy. And God, he read it. Brother, you ready to get it? By himself, he purged our sins. he saved me all by himself. And the same joy that floods my soul when I think about that, when I read my Bible in the morning, it was because of the mercy of God. He made this mind. He allowed it to be the focus for however long I read the scriptures. And his mercy did that for me. And I praise him for that. And I rejoice in that. And then if I'm in a situation where I need something to go forward for God, I'm not looking at my past history of excellence to trust in. I'm looking unto Jesus for mercy. And Father, just like you had mercy to save me, and just like you had mercy to allow me to serve you and do anything you've asked me to do, Father, please have mercy once again. And guess what? When he empowers me, I don't say to Reiner Harper be the glory, because I ask for mercy. I say to God be the glory. And that makes asking for miracles a whole lot easier. Because anybody, is salvation a miracle? Like 2.5 people believe that. But if it's a miracle, yes, it's a miracle. And praise God for that. And we should enjoy and walk in the glory of that miracle. And it came by the mercy of God. God treated us better than we deserve. And guess what? These blind men, they heard about that. They said, wait a minute. You mean God is not looking for something great and tremendous that I do for him? But guess what? As you cry for mercy, God leads you to what you're supposed to be doing. And what seems to be great, even earthly speaking, is not really great. Because it was mercy that allowed you to do it. And that is what keeps you humble before God. Even if it could be true that you did and performed some great sacrifice, some great service for God, you know, because of how you even became saved, it was by mercy. And so you understand every other act of that is by mercy. And so it keeps you from getting hung up on yourself. And you're like, wow. And so when something great happens, that God used you by your faithfulness to him, you know what you say? God is good. And you don't say, and you don't just say it because it's the right thing to do. You say, but you, because you mean it, God is good, you know. Is anybody having a good time besides me? I have a good time all by myself, even if you don't, amen. Y'all, praise God. But God is good. Let's go further. Let's read Psalm 51. What did David say about the sacrifices of God? In Psalm 51, in Psalm number 51, notice what the Bible says here. In Psalm 51, and verse number 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We talked a little about the spirit of man just the other day. The Bible said that the spirit of man shall sustain his infirmity. So all of us have a spirit within us that if we keep it alive, that's what keeps our faith weak. But see, when we allow God to break that spirit, that's the sacrifice God is looking for. When your spirit is broken before God, then finally God says, now you finally understand that you really need me. You know why God allows you and I to get in situations where we feel like we cannot help ourselves? It's because God knows that you're fighting and you still believe you can do it. He knows I still believe I can do it. And God allows me often to get in a situation where I try to think of how I can handle it, where I try to think of how I can work it out, where I try to think of what I can do next. And I look within myself, I look within my past history, I look at things I know, and know what I find for an answer? Zero. And so that caused me to say, well, I guess I need the same help that saved me. It was mercy. Father, would you give me some mercy? I like when Hezekiah was praying when the army was against him. He said, Lord, against this army we have no power or might. And said, and know we not what to do? And the Bible says, and our eyes are upon you. And the Bible says they stood there with their wives and with their children, with their eyes upon God, waiting. Because they knew they were helpless. What else could they do? So they waited. And they experienced the mercy of God. Amen. And they said, wow. So it wasn't. So Hezekiah didn't say, Lord, you know how faithful I've been unto thee. He didn't quote scriptures before God. And it's good we believe it. We pray by faith. We pray by the scriptures. But he simply had his eyes upon God. And he said, Lord, I recognize I'm in an impossible situation. I need you. I don't deserve your help. In fact, I've not been good enough to even warrant your help. Because I'm not good enough to deserve you allowing Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins. So I'm not good enough to, why would you even help me in this life? Father, maybe you know everything. You allowed me to come to this place. But would you have some mercy? And you know what these blind men heard? They said, they heard about the mercy of God. And so what they heard about it caused another faith that opened eyes. In Isaiah 57, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Notice something else God says about the about your spirit. Isaiah 57 and verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We talked about the temple last week. And God says, you know where I really dwell? You know where I really live? I live in the country. I live in him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And this is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. But he chooses to limit himself and concentrate his holiness in those that have a contrite and humble spirit. He gives that. But it didn't say, notice what it does not say. I dwell in the high and holy place and with him that has done great and wonderful sacrifices of obedience unto me. It doesn't say that. It said, I just dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why? Because those people have a broken and contrite heart before God. And I want to revive that heart. I want to bring new life to that heart. I want to strengthen and revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. And God says, that's what I'm looking at. He's blind but heard. You know what? So it's not what I can do. It's not what I have to do to get God's attention. God just wants me to want mercy. God wants me to understand that without him I can do nothing. God wants me to understand this absolutely all about him. And these blind men, having no sight, caught part of the faith that opened their eyes. Next thing you'll notice, the faith that opens eyes, it is a faith that has heard how the presence of Christ brings rest. It is a faith that has heard how the presence of Christ brings rest. Notice back in our text here, notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. Then came to him the disciple of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? I said, okay, the disciples of Christ, they're not fasting. They're not trying to do. They're just with Christ. And it says here, Jesus says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Now, I don't know, but when Christine, when you had your wedding, were your bridesmaids mourning over you? Were y'all kind of happy and joking around? And Brother Mark, were your groomsmen, were they mourning over you? They were with the bridegroom. It's a happy occasion. Amen. It's a blessed time, you know. They weren't saying, oh, Brother Mark, you're in for the worst time of your life, you know. We're fasting. No, they knew we made a good choice. And praise God for that. And so it says right here, so many people are trying to accomplish things and do things. And the Pharisees, you know, see, when you read about the Pharisees, they were never happy. You never hear about the Pharisees rejoicing. They were highly religious and highly committed people. But they did not know of the joy of simply resting with Christ. And he tells them, he gives them an illustration here. He said, no man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. So you can't apply Christ to the old man, or the old man just becomes worse because he becomes a Pharisee. He just becomes a religious person. Because what happens, you take the old man, you apply Christ and the Word of God and the rules of God, and people just begin to follow them. And what happens is you find some of the most mean-spirited people that will do things in the name of Christ, Pharisees. But if you find a person that gives their life to Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So he becomes a new creature, and you apply Christ to the new creature, you put the new cloth on the new man, And it fits together. And it's smooth. Just like you put new wine in new bottles, everything goes smooth. But you put new wine in an old bottle, again, the bottles break. And that's why we're seeing today the explosion of Christian religion. Because many people have never been born again, and they simply apply religious principles to their life. And eventually they break and they burst. And many people, they don't even want to go to church because of the hypocrites they saw there. The Pharisees. They saw people that took God and put it on the old man. And when it was convenient, they shined the new cloth. But people look at that new cloth and, man, that don't even fit you. I think about when I was in the barracks, going in the military, out drinking, and then in the next night trying to teach a Bible study in my barracks. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm surprised anybody even came. You know, that was before I gave my life to Christ. And I realized something wrong with me. Something major wrong. What ain't wrong with God, but something wrong with me. And so, but here these disciples of John, the Pharisees, they're doing all these exploits. Fasting. But Jesus' disciples they're okay just to be with him. It's all right just to be with Jesus. Is it all right? Is that a good thing, just to be in the presence of Christ? It's just like when you get married, you know. When you get married, you should be glad just to spend some time together. Some of the greatest times my wife and I have. Some of the just quiet moments shared together. Hey, for one of her birthdays, I think she was 18 or 19, we went to Ottawa. You know? I can't tell the real age because she looks like she's 18 or 19. But we went to Ottawa. And you know, we spent a lot of time. We took the train there. And we didn't talk the whole way there. We just enjoyed being in each other's company. Y'all know that's rare for me, because I like to talk. Amen. But I enjoyed being in her presence. Amen. Luke chapter 10 for a moment. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Notice what the Bible says here. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. The word of God says this. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I said, no, wait a minute. But Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Martha hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Did I say Martha? Mary had chosen that good part. You know what Mary did? She just sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Here Jesus is coming to the house, and Martha says, I've got to do all this stuff for Jesus. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to get this done. I mean, God is here. I've got to do this. But Mary said, you know, he's the Lord. And he's everything. I think surely he'll tell me what to do if I just get at his feet. Because, see, God is love. And if I'm being a sluggard, God will let me know. Because he doesn't bless sluggardness. So I'll just get at his feet. I'll hear his word. And when he tells me to serve, I'll serve. But if he doesn't tell me to serve, I'm not going to serve. Sometimes he just wants me to sit at his feet and hear his word. And Martha said, you know what? This is all right. Hey, Jesus is in the house, and it's all right just to be with him and not be busy. It's okay. That's what the Bible says. Study to be quiet and to do their own business. It's okay to be in the presence of God and just listen. Everything in our society competes against us slowing down just listening. That's what everything, electronic this, electronic that, we just boom, boom, it has our attention. And it's hard just to be still and just listen to God. And the blind man heard about these disciples of Christ. Though the Pharisees were busy and active, fasting, and even John's disciples were fasting. Those that were with the Lord had a different peace about them. They could just be in Christ's presence. And that was enough for them. And here's Martha. Now, you know, I learned in the ministry, one of the few things especially, you know, starting the church. There's so many things you try to do, you know, sometimes. And if you're not careful, you start thinking, man, I'm doing some of these things all by myself. And then you say, you know what, I'm just going to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. And I used to make a bulletin and all kind of stuff like that. And because, you know,
real churches have bulletins, you know.
I'm racking my brain on Saturday night what to put in a bulletin.
You know? My church had a bulletin. Every church I visited had a bulletin. I need a bulletin. But guess what? I didn't have anybody write a bulletin. And so I'm trying to do a bulletin. I'm busy trying to do this. And I'm thinking, I just spent 2 hours trying to write a bulletin. And I don't know what I'm preaching yet. Because I worked on the bulletin. And so you know what? I think I better get rid of the bulletin and stay at Jesus' feet and hear his word. I mean, sometimes we come here. Sometimes we've had some things try to help some of our neighbors and come here. And the chairs are all set up in the U. And sometimes busyness happens trying to help somebody. And I thought, you know what? Instead of just being busy and just trying to make it look like a church, that's why sometimes we just leave it like it is. So we can stay slow and just hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes I just go next door and say, hey, let's pray. Amen. Sometimes I've walked in and we've got here early even, you know, and chair set up and I can just sense from the family, you know what? This is the time we don't need to be busy. Let's just leave it as it is. And you know what? And they'll go get on the piano. They'll start playing and praising God. And God is here before anybody else ever shows up. Amen. It's all right. Amen. Some of you survived when we sat in the U, didn't you? God's good that way. Amen. But the blind men had their eyes open because they heard how the presence of Christ brings rest. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I could go all night with this next one. But back in our text, and we're almost done, if you're concerned. But it is a faith that has heard of the resurrection power of Christ. The faith that opens eyes is a faith that has heard of the resurrection power of Christ. Notice verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. That's faith, amen. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Disciples, hey, I'm going. But this guy just said his daughter's dead. He said, Lord, if you just put your hand on her, she'll be alive. And Jesus starts going. The disciples said, man, I want in on this. And we read the story already. But Jesus comes to the house in verse 23. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. That means they were weeping because his daughter was dead. Minstrels playing, mourning. And Jesus tried to tell them a little about resurrection power here. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Who do you think you are, man? Don't interrupt our sorrow. The Bible said, laugh him to scorn, as if he was trying to ridicule them or mock. They laughed at him to scorn. Are you serious? We can all tell she's dead. But notice what happened next. But when the people were put forth, just put them out. He didn't want to deal with any unbelief while he was dealing with them. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And guess what? The two blind men, they heard about this. They heard about this. They heard about the resurrection power of Christ. Last thing, number 7, number of completion. It is a faith that has heard of the power of a personal faith in Christ. It is a faith that has heard of the power of a personal faith in Christ. Notice verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, personal, she said within herself. No illustrations, nobody else that she could draw from, that this is the way it happens in Christianity. She said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, I see the Bible in 3D. I can think about these two blind men. They got this. They have really sensitive hearing.
because they can't see. And this woman comes in. She's not said a word. And all of a sudden, she reaches in for the press, touches the garment. And other accounts in the Bible says that he said, "Who touched me?" And the blind man said, "What's happening? What's going on?" And there happens to be an eyewitness there that actually saw what was going on. And they come to testify to the blind man. "Man, you're not going to believe this. This woman, I know where she lived down the street from me. 12 years, she had an issue of blood. 12 years, she went to the doctors, physicians. She spent all that she had. And for some reason, she just reached in. She just thought. And she didn't even have a Bible verse to put it up on it. She just thought, because Christ is so powerful, that if she could just somehow touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. And there's multitudes of people all around. And she touches him, and all these people are touching him. And he stops the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" And the blind man says, "What happened next? What happened next?" And the witness says, "Whoa!" The issue of blood dried up in her. And she was healed that very moment. Amen. And all of a sudden, the blind man said, "Where is Jesus going?" And the Bible says he's leaving town. And you saw the verse there. They followed him because they heard of the power of a personal faith in Christ. And I'm kind of slow. I you won't believe this, but I studied this all out. And I'd wrote this out, written the message that it is a faith that has seen the power of Christ to be forgiven. It is seen. I wrote seen all throughout this morning. And I went for a walk to pray over this. And I, all of a sudden I thought, "You dummy, they didn't see anything. They heard about all this." And I got to talking to myself and praising God and shouting. And I saw Dwayne, you know, one of my other sons. You know, not really, but there's some boys you play basketball with. There's two others that call me their dad because they're light-skinned like my sons are. And I saw him in the corner. I said, "Hey, what's up? Is that you?" He said, and I don't know what he wanted to say, but he said, I thought that was you." But he probably saw me carrying on. And what, is that, who's that crazy? I know him, but he didn't normally talk to himself. Amen. But I got kind of happy and I said, "Man, good to see you." And when he drove off, man, I just kept on praising God because they heard. And I thought, you know, this is all very simple. So then, faith cometh by hearing. So these two blind men are going to come to Jesus and trust him for a miracle and they'd never seen God do anything. But they heard of what he could do. And they were willing. Now, I've got chills, man. Turn to Romans 10. Let's just preach some more Bible before I get crazy. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 12. Okay, they heard that Christ had compassion on the sinful. They heard that Christ had the power to forgive sins. They'd heard that, we're just focusing on these few for now, that the power of personal faith in Christ. And so then, verse 12, it says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." So it sounded like to them, they heard that, you know, God could help anybody. And so, you know, we ought to just call upon God. Amen. And verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That was that witness that was telling the blind man what was going on, you know. Because, you know, they're blind. I mean, who knows what part of the crowd they were at? And they think every little story, you know. Why are the Pharisees so mad? Man, this man named Jesus, he walked into the crowd. And this man had the palsy, and he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." What? He said that? Where is he? and another account goes forward. And Matthew, they told him about Matthew. See the custom he follows and goes on. Here they heard about the disciples with the publicans and sinners. And God says, "It's not sacrifice, but mercy." And hear about all these things.
Thank God there was a witness or a preacher. And they said in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Their eyes were opened. These blind men were opened because of what they heard. Their faith was built by what they heard. And they trusted God for the impossible that they could never do for themselves. What a God. In our faith, you say, well, I haven't seen God do anything. Well, praise God. You're in great position for a miracle. You're in great position. If your eyes open, you say, I don't have a vision for what God wants for my life right now. Well, what have you heard about God? What have you heard about Christ? Have you heard that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins? Have you been born again? Have you been saved by the grace of God? If you have, you've not just heard about it, you're walking in it, amen. Have you heard? Now, I like this, if you really think about this. In this passage, just Matthew lost his life that we see here. He left all and followed God. He just called him. Because we think sometimes it takes a lot of people to make a difference, you know. And just one surrendered, and that moved him. Because when Jesus tried to leave the city, after what they heard, again, I keep wanting to say what they seen, they didn't, what they heard, they followed him. And then they cried out for mercy. Hey, here's Jesus with the publicans and the sinners. Hey, he had mercy on the publicans and the sinners. I believe Jesus will have some mercy on some blind men. We better follow him. They heard that God wanted mercy. He loved mercy, not sacrifice. So as blind men, we have nothing really we can offer God. As blind men, we have nothing we can do for God. But we heard that Christ has mercy on people. And since we have nothing to give, and mercy is treating us better than we deserve, that means we're in good shape. That means this same Jesus, it sounds like, and we've heard of a lot of different people that God helped. And the one with issue of blood, she didn't even ask God for help. She just went and touched him. She didn't cry out to God in some fantabulous prayer. She just said, you know what? The God that created the world, the Bible says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The God that made everything, I know I've had this issue 12 years. I know the wisest people, the doctors, the physicians have tried to help me. If I can just get to where he's at and just, he don't even have to look at me. He don't have to comfort me. He don't have to say a word to me. If I can just touch what he has touched, amen. Just touch the garments. I don't even have to touch his flesh. If I can just touch something he has touched. I preached a message some time ago about the witness of the garment, amen. If I could just touch the garment, I'll be made whole. She didn't even ask. And he's blind and heard about that. What? They didn't even get an audience with Christ? She didn't get an audience with him? The man with the palsy started all off. He was carried there. In fact, you don't even hear him utter any words. They brought him before Christ and he looked at the man with the palsy and he said, thy son be forgiven thee. And the four men brought him in. Well, that's good news, but that's not really what we brought him here for. You know, I'm so glad that God is merciful. Because I don't know about you, but the first time I went to church, I went to church with my wife when we were having trouble in our marriage and trying to get things straightened out. And I wasn't going to really give my life to Christ. I wanted God to help fix my home. But you know what I found better than that? I found forgiveness of sins. And I found that, guess what I found out? That's what fixed my home. And thank God, he didn't say, I can't believe you're not coming here for the right reason. He gives mercy. Amen. What a God. So we'll close with this because where are your eyes today? What are you seeing right now? Do you just see yourself and your life and what you think are your problems? Everybody here, by the grace of God, walked in here today underneath their own power. That's enough to praise God over because some don't. And if you didn't, you could praise God for that, even if you didn't, because you were able to be here. All of us here may have some type of issue and something you need that will make your life what God wants it to be. And God truly would like to open your eyes. But many times what happens, people don't do what the blind man did. They sit and they say, you know, I haven't really seen God do anything. But these blind men didn't see a thing. What they heard was enough to convince them that God could help them. And that's my prayer today, that you've heard enough to convince you that God can help you today. Even in a church this size, people can be Pharisees. They're just trusting in what they do for God and thinking that if they just do more, God should help them more. Many people struggle. One of my greatest struggles, I used to listen to sermons by these quote-unquote great preachers, and I tried to do all this crazy stuff that they did to try to get God to move, I told you some of the story. I remember laying on the street in Parkdale in the middle of the night praying, because I heard one preacher did that, you know. And luckily, the police didn't carry me away. That's not a wise thing to do in Parkdale, laying on the street corner in the middle of the night. I did fit in with the neighborhood, amen. But thank God he just had some mercy, amen. And you know, I just had to get up and go somewhere and just cry for mercy. I wasn't praying to Brother Moss back, but I remember being at his grave one day praying, asking, crying out to God at Brother Moss back at his grave, thinking that something would happen to me by just being around somebody that God used to bring me to the ministry. I wasn't praying to him, but I want to make that clear. But I was just looking, desperate for anything. And I found out, you know what? I just needed mercy. I just needed the same thing that saved me. And God opened my eyes. You know what? You know what? You know what it's done? It makes serving God a whole lot easier. Because I'll never do enough. I'll never be smart enough. I'll never be spiritual enough. I'll never walk with God enough to where I can have confidence in what I'm doing to get access to what God really wants to give me. Because he said, go learn what that meaneth. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I don't want you trusting in your sacrifice. I want you trusting in my mercy. That's why you can be saved, is by the mercy of God. And that's why you can be faithful by the mercy of God. And better than that, that's why you can be faithful and enjoy it. Because many people are faithful unto the service of religiosity, if there is such a word. And there's no joy. Because they're living by sacrifice and not by mercy. But oh, we live by mercy. You know what? That helps you do? It helps you be merciful to other people too. And thank God for that mercy, because man is greater than anything you could ever possibly imagine. It's great to have a life that's propped up by God and not by what you can do. I played a lot of sports when I was younger, and I was only good. I was only glorious and empowered as my last game was. Hey, I've had a good game the last game. I was riding high, man. Lamar Mundane's in town, amen. That was my self-proclaimed nickname when I played a lot of ball. But if I didn't have that good game, I don't know who I was. Because it didn't matter. When I found out, my name didn't matter, did it, brother? The name that is above every name matters. And when I cling to that name, everything's good. And I don't have to see God do anything. Because I've heard so much of what he can do. You can go to him any moment, any day, any hour. And all of a sudden, that life of mercy, man, is just good. Amen. And you think, wow. But our whole life is trying to prop us up, trying to make us prove we are something. And we don't have to beat ourselves down to say we're nothing, but just let's look at God and realize he's everything. I mean, that's easier. Hey, God's just everything. And so that's easy. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. If you're lost, he'll save you. If you're a Christian, he'll restore your vision. Because many walk in the churches Sunday after Sunday. Some of the most faithful people are some of the most discouraged people. Because they haven't learned it's not sacrifice, it's mercy. Because when it's mercy, when you make that call for mercy, there's nothing else you can do but wait. One of the greatest things we ever started in our family, and I can't remember if my wife started it or it was me, I don't even remember, is that when somebody offends each other, we say, We don't just say we're sorry, but we say, will you forgive me? Because when you say, will you forgive me, you're asking for mercy. And you're helpless at that moment. If you're married, you try doing that. It won't be easy for you to start with, unless you're just, I hope you're just very humble and it's easy for you. But it's not easy to just look at somebody in the eye and say, will you forgive me? It's against our nature. So will you forgive me? And then just wait. Because sometimes they'll be so offended, they won't. And you still have to wait. Because when you say, will you forgive me, you've removed all your power from yourself. Because you just asked them for mercy. And I tell you, when you really do ask for that mercy, even if the person doesn't want to give it, they recognize the sincerity of the call. And then later, the Bible talks about heaping coals of fire upon their head. That is what will cause them to repent later. It's all so simple. The good news is, I think we've all heard what the blind men heard. So I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. God wants your eyes to be completely open to everything that He really is. And whatever He has planned for your life, He wants you to trust in His mercy to work through you to get it done. And if you'll believe that today, I promise you, in the authority of the Word of God, you have a much more fruitful life with Christ. Because living by mercy, you'll be able to be despised and rejected of men, and a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. You'll be able to be cast down but not destroyed, persecuted but not forsaken. And you'll be able to be in any situation in life, and whether the circumstances are good or bad, you'll have the joy of the Lord, and it'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because it was never your works of righteousness anyway, but according to His mercy, He saved you. And as you stir up that remembrance of that salvation day, and you live His mercies new every morning, the love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance of faith will flood through your soul, and you'll say, man, what a God we have. And you'll be able to say, you'll understand why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 136, His mercy endureth forever. Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. We thank You for these precious, precious people. And oh my soul, I pray that they'll get the message. And Father, I pray for myself that I got the message. Because, Lord, I'll be tempted probably before the sun goes down today to try to look to my own strength to handle something. And Father, you're going to put something before, allow me to walk in a situation where I have no vision, I have no direction, I will have absolutely no idea what to do. And Father, I pray You help me to remember this message to simply ask You for mercy. And Lord, You know the needs here today. You know who knows You and who doesn't. And so, Father, I just pray that if there's someone here today that knows they're not one of Your children, and they hear Your voice, they know You're calling them. I don't have to point them out, put them out, because only You know. I pray You'll prick their heart right now, and You're telling them, I'm talking to You. And I pray You give them the faith to come forward and to give their life to Christ. Lord, for those that know You, and are busy for You, they're doing things in Your name's sake, but they know they're weary and tired, and they really don't have a clear vision of You. Would You give them the faith to just cry out for mercy right now, that You might open their eyes? Would You allow them to think about what they heard? And when they begin to pray and You ask them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Would You give them the faith to say, yea, Lord? And then, Father, I look forward to You just touching their eyes and them seeing You like they haven't seen You before.